Hello, everybody. Welcome to the Community Conversations podcast. We are in week one of a brand new emphasis on worship.
Woohoo!
Woo!
Woo! There it is, Steve. I was waiting for you. Woo! So, if you couldn't tell by our woos, I'm joined today by Abby Weldon and Stephen Wakefield.
Woo!
Heyo.
Hey! Let me see how many times I can get you guys to woo.
The problem is you don't have to twist my arm much.
Yeah. You know, all you have to do is ask Stephen to woo. He's a wooer.
So we are, well, this past Sunday, Noah spoke on a life of worship.
Apparently.
Apparently. I know.
Yeah, I was the only one.
Abby was in there. I was back in kids. Stephen had
I was off leading worship at a revival.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Big time Steve-O.
Big Steve-O is a big deal.
Steve-O vibes
in the North Georgia area.
I'm gonna tell you guys what I've been thinking about. I'm just gonna kind of drop this out there, and we'll see where it goes.
Okay.
So I've heard this just from different, like, honestly, theologians, philosophers, mm-hmm. psychologists talk about this idea that it's actually not really possible to be an atheist.
Mm.
Maybe in the sense that it's possible to not believe that, like, Yahweh exists and is real.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But I don't think it's possible to be an atheist in that no matter what, something is the object of your worship.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Period. Like, you can't just by our nature.
Yeah. Yeah.
We're designed to worship. We're designed to give our attention and our affection mm-hmm. and our devotion to something.
Yeah. Yeah.
So what do you think about that?
So what are your thoughts?
What do you think about that, huh?
So yeah, throw me a curveball on that one.
Yeah, no, I agree with that. I think even the idea of just atheism, so you just basically are saying you don't believe in anything, is still a belief system.
And actually, hearing you say that mm-hmm. is really interesting because mm-hmm. there's a G.K. Chesterton quote mm-hmm. that I actually read this morning.
Okay.
As he said that when men stop believing in God, they don't believe in nothing. They believe in anything.
Right.
Yeah.
And that's it.
Right.
Anything can be God to you.
Yeah.
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 You can idolize anything.
Yep. Mm-hmm. I think we're designed to worship something. And yeah. when I say that loosely, I mean, we're talking about kind of a life of worship
yeah.
where, I mean, when you don't have a belief system or a God that you choose to worship stuff with your time, with your energy, with your thoughts, mm-hmm. with your money. Like, mm-hmm. I think we're kind of geared to, like, I mean, you meet someone and the first thing you say is, what do you do? Or what's a hobby?
Yeah.
What do you like to do? Like, those are the first questions that come to mind when mm-hmm. you meet somebody. So I think mm-hmm. I think we're all wired to kind of, like, find a niche, you know, mm-hmm. and yeah. like find something that we kind of build our whole life around
yeah.
in
yeah.
a sense, you know? So I agree with that thought that even if there's not something you're intentionally going out of your way to worship, all the parts of your life are going to be geared towards something,
yes.
whether it's accidental yeah. or purposeful. It's just going to happen.
Yeah.
You
yeah.
know?
And Noah kind of touched on that this past Sunday, this concept that, you know, Paul's talking and he's kind of explaining that the goal in Christianity as a whole is that we would become like Jesus. Mm-hmm. That's pretty basic. Mm-hmm. But everything, I think, well, I'll pair it with this. I think what's hard is I'm very black and white as a person. Like, I'm very right or wrong, do or don't. Like, I've just always been that way. There's really yeah. nothing mm-hmm. that's happened. Like, I'm just, that's how I've been. I was birthed that way. and it's hard for me to kind of understand this concept where it's all of everything. But then at the same time, there's room for life. You know, because when I think all, I think like everything, like I'm done with, mm-hmm. you know, Noah even made kind of a comment Sunday about like, it doesn't mean that you're like done watching shows and you're done reading books and you're
yeah.
done. Like you don't no longer have a personality now
right.
because your life is worship. And that's, I don't know if that's something wrong with the way my brain works, but like, I just, it's such a hard concept for me to like live a life of worship and not see that as removing things
right.
from my life in order to live that way.
Right.
Yes.
And so Noah kind of talks about Sunday, this concept of like, no, it's kind of bringing this perspective of be in the world, but not of the world.
Mm-hmm.
We have to be the example of what it looks like to live daily life with Jesus, like Jesus, looking like Jesus, being yeah. like Jesus. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, I think there's something about a lifestyle of worship that doesn't just mean literal worship, but this transformative experience where our lives look and reflect Jesus.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And in return, I think the importance of that is, I'm not saying like go home and watch Stranger Things, but I think the
I'm
not saying like if you're bored, like you shouldn't do that after this podcast episode. But I think that there is kind of this thing of like, there is an importance in living normal life because the world isn't going to relate in a sense, you know,
yeah.
like there's this reality of like, wow, they're doing in a sense what I'm doing, which is living daily life, but better.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But if we don't live our lives practically, people of the world aren't going to see us being in the world and want that. They're just going to see us being this like impractical version of some weird monk out there, you right. know? So there is this kind of like twofold of like a life of worship requires us to start to ask ourselves, how does our lives speak of our worship to the Lord? How yeah. do our lives reflect that thing?
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
It being in the world and not of the world is such a like an interesting concept to think about.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Even I think it was last Sunday, Noah spoke on apathy, and it was so good. And
yeah.
you know, he was talking about how like, and he was directing it toward men, but I think this is just true of believers in general, that
yeah.
like we need to be thinking about the ways that we're meant to be like affecting culture.
Yeah.
Yes.
Because it's too easy in some ways to just withdraw mm-hmm. and say yeah. like, this is like, I don't like that. That's weird.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I don't like, you know, politically or ideologically, it's easier for me to just kind of withdraw and just be in my own little bubble.
Yeah. yeah.
And on one hand, I could try to build a case to where that's me just not being of the world, mm-hmm. you know, but
right.
it's like, but actually I'm withdrawing from being in the world.
Yeah. Yes.
And so it's hard to find that tension sometimes of knowing like, to what degree are we meant to be in the world living pretty like normal lives.
Yes.
Yeah. And at what point do we like disengage from that and not be yeah. of the world?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's a tough thing to.
It is.
Yeah.
I feel it's probably a little bit like an age old question.
Yeah.
Of how to navigate, because I think, you know, when we start having this conversation, then we kind of get into the topic of conviction versus preference mm-hmm. and
yeah.
what
yeah.
should be. What should be a truth and a moral, and what should be just an opinion?
Yeah.
And how do we navigate that?
Yeah.
Yeah. A couple verses that come to mind is the one that talks about being the salt of the earth and thinking about just that concept. Like, you don't eat salt by itself. If you do, you're a freak. That's insane. Yeah.
And you have a deficiency. You should really go to the doctor yeah, about that.
Exactly. I got this. I've been trying to find a new like canned coffee you could buy at the store.
Okay.
And so I bought like
King.
Four random ones from Walmart last week. And I was just kind of like taking them at random because I've had Starbucks double shots forever. And that's just been my go-to. And I got the salted caramel oat milk latte. It sounds insane. It was insane. And it should have been.
That's a mouthful.
Tell me about it. And it was awful. And it was supposed to be, you know, caramel with a hint of salt, but it was salt with a hint of caramel. And it was just awful.
Yeah. yeah.
And just to use that to drive home my point
mm-hmm.
is I think that we're supposed, like, we're designed to enjoy life.
Mm-hmm.
We were designed to enjoy the garden and the fruit
yeah.
and the animals and the care. Not carelessness, but like carefree lifestyle where mm-hmm. everything is at your fingertips and it's just mm-hmm. there. And I think, you know, part of the curse was that we have to work and toil for
yeah.
life now.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that concept of being the salt of the earth is that we make other people's lives better. We take
yeah.
the
yeah.
things of culture and we make it better. Mm-hmm. And I think it's one of those things in that apathy message. Noah talked a little bit about how believers used to lead in art and music mm-hmm. and leadership
yeah.
and government and all yeah. these different, you know, all these different facets of life. And I think, you know, culture has just gone this way where it's all just about efficiency. How quick can we get this building up and mm-hmm. whatever? And we've lost the artistry of life.
Yeah.
And I think that in the same way with just that concept of being in the world, but not of it, what we can almost go is, okay, so if I'm supposed to be in it, but not of it, I'm just going to hide away in my house.
Yeah.
And I'm just going to like hang out with my Christian friends and go to church mm-hmm. stuff. But I'm not of the world, so I can't go to that rodeo. I can't go to that play.
Yeah.
I can't go to that baseball game. Can't go to the whatever.
And it sucks because there's a lot of rodeos I want to go to, but
I'm not going to lie to you. A rodeo thing is coming to Chattanooga in April, and I'm probably going to go done it head to toe in Wrangler, and I've been amassing a collection, guys. So, yeah. So yeah, you can go to rodeos is really what I'm really trying to get at.
Seems like
here.
Yeehaw.
Yeehaw, yeah. Bro.
Yeehaw for Christ. You know what I mean? Yeah.
But all that to say, you know, I think like the idea is that like you don't have to be a weird little Christian who can't engage with people who aren't Christians.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Like your life being an act of worship means that like when you read that scripture, do everything as unto the Lord. Like, mm-hmm. yes, you can parent as unto the Lord. You can be a husband or a wife unto the Lord. You can steward your finances unto the Lord. You can engage.
Grocery shop unto the Lord.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah. And I think that is what makes an effective believer who doesn't just have an active relationship with the mm-hmm. Lord, but in that concept of like being the salt of the earth, you have something that other people want.
Yes.
Because you and I, like we could all do the same activities and there are things within those activities that if the Lord is in it and the Lord is not in it, it's going to be a different experience for
100%.
Us, you know?
Yeah.
And so I think that's kind of when I think of living a lifestyle of worship, that's what I think. Like I'm not going through every decision I make and every conversation I have going, okay, how can I make this worship? But I have like a relationship with the Lord. And so at any point in my day, I know that the Lord's presence can just meet me. And in that moment, it's like, okay, we're doing this thing together, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And in the things that are more routine in life, like, okay, stewarding my finances, for instance, like I know that like without even having to make a conscious effort, like what I have is because the Lord gave it to me.
Yeah.
So that in and of itself, I'm viewing and approaching my finances from the perspective that what I have is from the Lord. And I think that makes it worship, you know?
Yeah. I also think it's really important on a practical level to, I think the question that I often think my own self when hearing these conversations is, well, how do I know when I'm in it, but I'm not of it? Hmm. And how do I know when I'm of it and not just in it?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I think that like one of probably many answers and many ways we could go about it is making sure that like living a lifestyle of worship is also living a lifestyle in community. And I know we've harped on this multiple times.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean community in the sense of the way that we've structured it, but also just community amongst your church, finding people, going after people who are going to keep you accountable to be in it and not of it.
Because
if we're not careful, we can get there. Like I think for a while, and I still don't really know my like final thoughts on this, there's been a lot of, I feel like, frustration that I've had with looking at the like the worship industry right now.
Mm-hmm.
Because sometimes it's you know, it's in the world, but there's a lot of it that feels very of the world.
Yes,
sure.
You know, and if we're not careful, what we do is we start dominating and taking over these things. And that's good. That's what the Lord's calling us to do. But if we don't have accountability and we don't have community, we'll turn that in the world into of the world real quick.
Yeah.
Because we don't realize, like, we want to worship the Lord until the opportunity really shines to worship and idolize ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
And it's been like a frustrating thing where you see these really amazing worship movements. And I'm using worship just because this is the emphasis. So that's my example. Because there's a lot of other avenues we've seen this play out.
Mm-hmm.
But you see this really cool transition in worship. And it's like, wow, like we're gaining a lot of traction here. Like, you know, we've had, you know, just little moments where, you know, people like Maverick City or things like that have had platforms that, you know, worship doesn't always get.
Yeah.
And then, you know, you have other people, and I'm not saying what's good and what's bad, but I'm saying you just have people who it's like, oh, like I feel like we're kind of leaning out of what this is really about.
Yeah.
And that sucks because we've gained a lot of traction and a lot of influence.
Yeah.
And we want to stay influential while not having to morph into who they are in order to influence.
Yeah.
You know, and it's kind of been my, like, I guess, beef, for lack of better words, with this kind of like influencing movement type thing, for a lack of better words, where we found ourselves like really taking a lot of ground and then, you know, tearing up the soul.
Yeah. It is really interesting watching the rise and fall of different groups because I feel like different things are attached to those.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I think one of those, I mean, let's just talk about it. So like Maverick City.
Hey,
hey
guys, break it down. Hey guys, this is exclusive content. At this point, now that you're listening, you're going to have to pay $5.99 to continue listening.
Take. Yeehaw. I think one of the things that felt like it changed with Maverick City, because when they first came out in like, I think it was 2020-ish.
Yeah, it kind of got big during that like COVID.
COVID, everyone's
2019, like that little.
Yeah. One of the things that just seemed to change is, this is what I loved about their group specifically when they started, is they just seemed like they didn't care about any rules. Mm-hmm. They were just getting in a room and worshiping. Mm-hmm. And wherever it goes is where
it's where it goes. Yeah.
And I think as it progressed, it seemed like things were geared more and more towards what would please people or what would fit in the vein that they seemed to be in. Mm-hmm. I remember the last time I went to see Maverick City, it was with the Kirk Franklin tour. And I remember...
Hey, crazy. Let's talk. Hey. Hot topic.
Hey. So I went there and I mean, this is just me. Like, I'm game for any worship night. I don't really care what it is. Like, I just love it.
Yep.
And so I went and I remember I just felt like they had like weird choreographed dances that just felt weird and inauthentic. Mm-hmm. And I just was like, in that moment, like my love for what it had been in my life as people who created worship songs that resonated with me, that led me into the presence, it just, I had this kind of aha moment where I went, everything that I loved about these guys, it's gone.
Yeah, it's just not it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It used to be just about worshiping the Lord and just getting all these talented people in a room and just giving him the best gift. And it turned into this show for people.
Yeah.
And I think that can happen in our churches.
Oh yeah.
That can happen.
Yeah. There's multiple facets. Yeah. I think we're using worship and picking at worship just because, you know, that's the topic. But it does happen more times than not. I mean, over the last 3 years, we've probably seen more like high up leadership fall.
Yeah.
And, you know, some big names, some big guys who, you know, we maybe don't listen to or like religiously, you know, like listen to or talk about, but there's still people who.
They're like generals of the faith.
Yeah. Yeah. Generals of the faith. These people that you grew up with that you're like, you know like, what? Life can be crazy. Like, but that guy, you know, that guy's got something, you know, and, and it is, it's hard to find the balance. And I think that's the importance is I think sometimes when, and this is kind of why this topic is like not always my favorite. When we get into the topic of a lifestyle of worship, if we're not careful, we'll start to think that it's kind of just this like free flowing, organic, like
accidental.
Yeah, accidental. Like we just we live and breathe worshiping him, man. Like we become what we behold. And it's like that is true until you're not beholding him anymore.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, and it's like it really is a balance of making sure that there's a tension there where it, a lot of it does happen organically. You organically go get gas and go get groceries. Like those aren't things where you're like, hey, Noah, I need accountability when my grocery shopping. Like, you know what I mean? Like, but there is this thing of like, we have to have help in community and navigating how to stay true to being in the world and not of it.
Yeah.
I think, you know, I think probably the challenge with anything that like you guys were just talking about, especially like when you are doing something that becomes successful and you have a platform, I think what's probably hard about that is what's really just hard about in general, developing a life of worship and just a life in which we are pursuing like spiritual formation, because all of that spiritual formation is about shifting from the worship of self to the worship of God.
Yes.
Right. That's the shift that needs to be made.
Right.
And so I can't even imagine like one day say Be Love Co say, you know, we're getting 100,000 views on our services and maybe you guys are writing songs that are getting millions of listens.
Yeah.
I think the thing you have to be careful of is, I think the thing that you would have to keep always at the forefront of your mind is like, is this worship of the Lord or is this worship of self?
Yeah.
Because I think it's a slippery slope.
Yeah.
To get back into like making it about you. And especially when there's fame and there's money, you know?
For sure. I don't know if you guys have felt this way, but because I grew up in church and I've been around it a very long time, I feel like I have been very attracted in churches to ones that don't overtly seem like they're trying to be pleasing to the eye.
Yeah.
Sure.
Like I'm attracted to tradition. Mm-hmm. I'm attracted to like elderly people in the church. I'm attracted to like anything that's not in vogue, that's like cool, hip, new, whatever. Yeah. I'm more drawn to people who have just, they've lived a lot. Like I told Noah when we moved here, I want to be in a church that doesn't just have 20 somethings.
Yeah.
I want 60, 70, 80-year-olds in my life who've been walking this longer than I've been alive.
Yeah.
And that's not the quote-unquote cool thing in culture for whatever reason. I don't know where that got lost.
Yeah.
But same thing with all of the, intricacies. We always joke about me liking smoke machines, but like all the things, the moving lights and the whatever that just all dressed up worship to be this big production, and Sunday services were super, you know, non-believer focused and seeker friendly or whatever. Yep. And for a minute, that church culture was quote unquote winning, you know, that's what growing churches were doing. Mm-hmm. And I just have, for lack of a better term, I'd have such an ick to that now.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Like I'm attracted, when I'm looking for like worship services or church services online, the ones that I'm drawn to are the ones where it's like, that guy kind of looks like an idiot. Like, I don't know what he's doing on that stage while he's worshiping. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, I want that. I want to, like, I want to reject everything that is meant to please the eye to other people and just lays it all out for God. Like, I just, that's what I'm into.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
That's who I want to be.
And it's hard. Shameless little plug. Next week I'll be talking about on a Wednesday night. We were talking about this in some other conversations we've been having about worship, but
spoiler alert,
guys, preview. I think we assume that things are birthed out of selfishness. So that when they gain traction, they stay selfish or they stay, you know, whatever. But I actually think, not always, this is not a hard and fast rule, but I do think most things are birthed out of a true, genuine desire see something happen.
Yeah. Totally.
You know, and I've talked about a little bit like the worship movement and how like when we got into like the 80s, that was really where like mega church.
We got in the 80s. Were you born 2006?
Hey, listen, let me tell you something. I go way back. Those people started like moving into the 80s. We got into like a worship movement that was flashy.
Mm-hmm.
And it was genuinely like it was when kind of the mega church model started to like really start up. Like we really started to see the mega church come.
Yep, sure.
It came from the Jesus movement. Anyways, all that to say, I think a lot of that stuff is birthed out of a desire to be in the world and not of the world.
Oh yeah.
To show you that like, hey, these things aren't bad.
Yeah.
We're just using them wrong. Or hey, these things like aren't necessarily innately awful.
Right.
Yeah.
It's just that we're not using them to glorify the Lord, and we're not using them to, but oftentimes what happens is those things, they do build traction, they do gain momentum, and then you find yourself in a place where we've totally lost focus.
Yeah.
And because of that, I think a generation like ours does go into an atmosphere. Ours, I say loosely, because I'm a lot younger.
Now she claims
younger,
that we're all in the same generation.
A lot younger than you. but it is a statistic that like specifically, I know you guys are millennials, but Gen Zs. Hey, Gen Zs over here. Gen Zs are looking in the church, like they're looking for like organic, true, authentic life. They're not looking for the mega church model, the cafe with all the strength. Like they're not looking for those things. They're looking for a really organic, plain base because we want authenticity.
Right.
We've gone so long kind of moving and flowing in different veins. And I think that's the church I used to go to in Nashville had some of the nastiest carpet I've ever seen. We were a pretty big church. But it was authentic. And I really felt like when I was in there, people were there because they were just concerned about experiencing the presence.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You know, and I was more attracted to that than some of the giant, most stunning buildings in Nashville that hosted services that were great and not bad, but just, you know what I mean?
Yep.
And so I think there is a balance, but I think that it is hard. And I think we're leaning into that, even as a church ourselves, leaning into this reality that like, it doesn't have to look like that because there's so much more to it.
Yeah.
You know, and if I have to give you smokes and lights and all the things, then I don't.
You do have to.
You do have to give me that. Lasers would be preferred. Then I have to do that to keep you there.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yep. And I don't want you to be here for that. I want you to be here because of him.
Right.
Well, and I think that we've seen like the megachurch model for long enough now.
Mm-hmm.
Because like you said, when things first start, they may end very like self-centered. That doesn't necessarily mean it started that way.
100%.
But I think we've seen enough of some of these models to kind of get a gauge for like what produces authentic transformation and life change.
Yeah.
What actually allows people to grow and to stop being depressed and anxious and to live genuine lives of like joy and freedom.
Yeah.
Yep.
And I think we've seen enough now. And I think this is probably why like the younger generations, like the Gen Zs, and whatever comes after you guys. I think
yeah, the, I think the I reason don't know, blueberries. That, blueberry guys.
I think the reason that they are craving such like just like a pure authentic expression, and they're not like wooed by the lights anymore and the fog machines. It's because yeah. I think there's been a lot of disappointment in the church.
Yeah.
Like you just said, even in the last couple of years,
yeah.
there's been a lot of really disappointing things.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, okay, well, if this church, if the person leading this kind of church
mm-hmm.
is himself not actually like right. transformed to yeah. a person who is living in absolute freedom
yeah.
and wholeness,
yeah.
then like what, like, where can I get that?
Yeah. Right.
This doesn't seem to be producing that.
It's true. Right.
And so, and again, it's not, we're not like against.
No,
and it's not to say that we'll never get there again
yeah.
in a different model, in a different yeah. format. It's not to say, I think sometimes when we kind of like harp on things of the past, it can seem like we would never do that.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You know, and it's not that we wouldn't get there eventually. It's yeah. just that it's how you get there and how you stay there and how you sustain it.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
is what's really important. And I think we've all yeah. collectively, as a family, as a whole unit, have said like, we want to do this well.
Yeah.
And if slow and steady is what wins the race, that's what we'll
yeah.
do
yeah.
to sustain, you know, what the Lord is doing, not what we're doing, you know.
Yeah.
We've even talked about seeing revival. We don't want to see the next great move. We want to see the next great sustainable revival
right. Yeah. Right.
where something ebbs and flows in such a way where in the next 30, 40 years, people can say that thing is still going
yeah.
on.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Started in North Georgia because a bunch of families decided to get together and find revival within discipline and you know, being steady within their homes and their families and their lives.
Yeah.
And that's been something that's sustained this, you know, idea of this lifestyle of worship.
Yeah.
You
yeah.
know?
Yeah, I think one of the things that just in that kind of like where we feel like church has gone bad or movements have gone bad or whatever, I think something that can happen, and this happens personally and corporately,
yeah.
is you can go heavy on a certain type of, I'll just use the word nutrition for now, and
yeah.
wildly malnourish another part of you.
Mm-hmm.
And I think, you know, there's different movements in the church as a whole. You see like really worship centered churches kind of taking the center stage. And then you have certain churches that were more like pastor focused and, you know, like either, you know, fame for the pastor or like his speaking or whatever. That's what the church is known by. And I think that like to make a healthy church, you have to have a robust, well nourished church in the same way that as a believer, you need that. So to make that more practical, it's great if I'm really disciplined in reading the word, but if I never talk to God, if yeah. I'm never worshiping him, mm-hmm. if I'm never praying, I'm malnourishing that part of who I am, but I'm really heady. Like I can,
yeah.
I can recite scripture. I can, you know, I can have wisdom and all this stuff, but then I'm malnourishing this other personal piece with the Lord. And you can do that with any of the spiritual disciplines, you know? And I think the same goes in a church is like, Noah talked a lot about being a church who is heavy on the spirit and heavy in truth.
Yeah.
And not just one or the other. So we're not just trying to be like some traditional orthodox, just cut and dry there. We're also supposed to be, or we're also aiming to be very spirit led. We want to spend time in the presence of God. We value that as a family. And so I think in the same way, you know, I, as a believer, you know, you look at a lifestyle of worship to kind of bring it back to that. Like, I think it's important that we don't just harp on one thing that we're just naturally into because of our personality.
Yeah.
And we surrender every part of who that we are to the Lord, you know?
Yeah.
That's good. Great. I think that is probably good for this episode. Let's wrap it up. I love that. I love
Yeehaw.
All of that. Yeehaw.
Woo!
Get one more woo. There it is. Have you got one more in you?
No.
No. Okay. All right. Well, to all our listeners, thank you guys, and we love y'all, and we'll see you next time.